Okay, in this class we are going to be talking about how do you prepare a character study. We have talked about, first of all, how do you study the Bible before you even become a teacher, before you even prepare a lesson. We need to think about how are we going to study the Bible for ourselves. And then we talked about how do we come to the Bible and how do we start preparing a lesson. How do we start putting lessons together? And so we talked about how do you put a textual lesson together. Go to the text, let the text develop the lesson for you. How do you put together a topical lesson? And so what we're doing in this class, we are talking about how do you put together a character study. How do you look at a Bible character and put together a Bible class lesson on that character? So here's we've got 10 different points on this handout, and we'll go through these. But obviously you're going to know that the first thing that we are going to have on our list of ideas and suggestions about what we need to do in order to prepare a character study or any Bible class lesson, first thing we've got to do is we're going to pray. Again, that may seem like we're saying that all the time. That may seem like, well, that's the obvious answer that you're just going to give in a class. You always have to pray. But we're talking about teaching the Bible here. And when we're talking about teaching the Bible, we're talking about teaching God's Word. And who are we to think that we can prepare a lesson on God's Word and not ask for God's help? Not allow God to be a part of the preparation of that lesson. And so, first thing we've got to do is spend time praying. Praying to God to help us in preparation, help us in our study, help us in our delivery of this lesson. Make God a part of this lesson. It's not about you, it's about Him. It's not about what you are teaching, it's about what He needs to teach. It's not about your words, it's about His words. So let's spend time and pray. Number two, choose a Bible character that interests you and that you believe will interest those who are in the class. You know, the last thing you need to do is choose Bible character that you don't care about or that you may find that's going to bore you for some reason. That's not where we need to go. You need to find some. Who's a Bible character that interests you and that you think when you stand up to talk about them and teach about them in the Bible is going to interest those people in the class? And, you know, you might choose a character that's going to challenge you a little bit. Not challenge you a lot that you would know absolutely nothing about and that would be difficult for you to put together a lesson on, but a lesson or a character that's going to challenge you a little bit. You know, there's those characters that we know a lot about. You know, you choose a Noah, you choose a Peter, a Paul. There's characters we know a lot about, and so to teach a lesson on them may not be overly challenging for you, but you might choose a character that maybe you don't know as much about, maybe you haven't heard of as much. And so you might look at Epaphroditus or Epaphras or Onesimus in the New Testament. You might look at a Shema or a Uriah or one of these lesser characters even of the Old Testament that maybe we don't know as much about. And be aware that some of the most interesting and some of the most profitable studies and ones where we can really find some rich application may not always come from the good characters of the Bible, but you might study one of the bad characters of the Bible. We had a class, a ladies' class here a while ago called The Bad Chicks of the Bible, where they looked at the bad ladies, the bad women of the Bible. And so there's something that you can learn even from those who are, that obviously we won't be emulating them, but there's things that we can learn that here's what I don't need to do if I'm trying to follow and to please God. So choose a character that interests you and you believe will interest those who are in the class. Number three, there are some scriptures that as you are preparing a study on a Bible character would be beneficial for you to remember and not lose sight of. One of those is Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, one passage that's very familiar to us where the Bible says, whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Obviously, Paul is writing that and referencing the Old Testament, saying those things that were written before time in the Old Testament were written for our learning. But here we have the entirety of the Bible now. And so we could say that about the Old Testament. We could also say that about the New Testament, could we not? That those things that are written in the Bible, written aforetime, Old Testament or New Testament, are there written for our learning. And so when we pick up the Bible to study about a Bible character, why did God put the story of that Bible character in the Bible? Why do we have it? Why do we know some of the names that may be difficult to know? Why do we know about Jonathan? What is it about Jonathan that we need to know? Why is it that that we even know about Mephibosheth? And why is he in the Bible? What is there that God wants us to know about Gomer and Hosea? Why is that story in the Bible? And so these things are written for our learning. We better learn from them. But another passage that we need to keep in mind is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where Paul is addressing character studies. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul begins with character studies. He is pulling out the characters, the Jews, the Israelites of the Old Testament. He is pulling them out, and he's teaching a lesson based upon these characters of the Old Testament. And he gets down into verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and he says, "Now all these things happened to them," these characters of the Old Testament, these things happened in their lives, "all of these things happened to them as examples." Romans 15 says, those things were written for our learning. Not only for our learning, these things happened to them as examples. And they were written for our, not just written for them, they were written for our admonition. Another word for the word admonition is the word warning. These things that we have in Scripture, these stories that we have in the Bible, they are written there for our learning. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. They are written there for us as an example, that we can learn from the example. Again, whether it be a good example or a bad example. And they are written for our admonition. There are some warnings that we need to heed from those examples, from those characters of the Bible. We need to say, look, I don't need to be like them. And take the warning. When Uzzah touched the ark and God struck him down dead, I need to be warned that what God calls holy is holy, and I don't need to tread upon what God calls upon holy and make it some sort of profane thing, some sort of common thing. When you read about Abraham in Romans chapter 4, there's an interesting statement over there where it talks about how Abraham's faith was accounted to him for righteousness. But it says in verse 23, "Now it was not written for his sake that it was imputed to him, but it was written for our sake." These things in the Bible that are written about Abraham were not written for Abraham. They're written for us. And so these character studies that we're going to do, we need to remember these passages and make them very real to us. Number four, when we approach a character study, we need to approach it sort of as a combination of what we have talked about previously. We need to approach it as a combination of a textual study and a topical study. That's what a character study is. Character study is a combination of a textual study and a topical study. How is that the case? Well, in the first place, what do we do with the topical study? The topical study, we get out the concordance and we look up a particular word in the Bible and we find all the verses in the Bible that have that word on it. That's what we do in a topical study. Well, that's what you can do in a character study. You're going to choose your character and then you need to pull out a concordance and look at every time that that character is found in the Bible, because sometimes that character is not just going to be found in that one location. We read about Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. Here's Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. So you might read that chapter. Okay, that's what we know about Naaman. But did you know that Naaman is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible? And even in the New Testament, you read about Naaman. You're not going to know that, perhaps, if you don't pick up a concordance and look it up. You need to not only pick up a concordance, you need to pick up a Bible dictionary, a Bible encyclopedia. Read a short synopsis, an overview of this character's life. And then make sure you're cross-referencing. Look at some of the cross-references in your Bible and other places, because sometimes a character might be mentioned elsewhere and maybe their name is not there, or maybe their name is spelled differently, or maybe they're going by a different name. By the way, you know, look up Bartholomew. And did Bartholomew go by another name? Well, if you're only looking up Bartholomew in the concordance, you're not going to find everything that we can know about Bartholomew. So approach it as a character or as a topical study. Here's my topic. I'm going to look up a concordance, a dictionary, cross-references. I'm going to find everything that says about this character throughout the Bible. But now I'm also going to approach this character study like a textual study. Because in a textual study, what I do is I dig into a text and I allow the text and I allow the context to teach me. And so what can I learn about this character just from the text itself? When I'm reading about this character, are there any words or phrases that are used repeatedly throughout a passage that are tied to that character? Is there anything in a text that is contrasted that God wants me to see? Here's what he did and here's the contrast. The opposite of that, you know, sometimes you might even have two Bible characters that are in contrast to one another. And you see Elijah and you see Jezebel, and you see the contrast between Elijah and Ahab. Oh, troubler of Israel. No, he's not the troubler of Israel. You're the troubler of Israel. And so look at the contrast. And so let the text and the words that are there in the text kind of develop your main points. And does the Bible have any main points that God just emphasizes over and over about this particular character? Character studies are going to be some of the most enjoyable, some of the richest studies that you will do in the Bible. And one of the reasons is because we can relate. Most of the time, you find a Bible character and we can relate to them. And it needs to be very real. Number five. We have prayed, we've chosen a character that interests us, we remember some key passages about it's there for our learning. We have approached this like a textual and like a topical study. And then number five, we need to realize something. We need to realize that as we've gone through this study and as we've pulled together all of this information, there is no way and no reason that we need to try to uncover everything that the Bible has to say. For some characters, that will just be impossible to do. But we don't need to try to uncover everything the Bible teaches, and for sure we don't need to try to teach every detail about a Bible character's life. There's just not time. If you have one class period to talk about a Bible character, if you've got 40 minutes, you know, yeah, there's some Bible characters you can cover in 40 minutes. There's a lot of Bible characters. You cannot cover everything the Bible has to say about that character in 40 minutes. And so you need to narrow down your focus. Don't try to teach everything, especially if you've got a character like Abraham or like David or like Paul or like Peter. You've got way too much information to try to teach all in one class. And so you need to narrow your focus down, narrow your study in. What are the main points that really need to be covered? What are the main highlights of this character's life? And you may just have to choose. You know, you look at the life of David, there are too many main points. There are too many main highlights. You're just going to have to choose. Here's the part of his life that I want to emphasize in this class. So sometimes we might get overwhelmed by a bowl. We start filling our bowl of information of what the Bible has to say, and our bowl just starts getting, you know, all that much more fuller. It gets fuller and fuller and fuller all the way. Okay, how am I going to do? Well, you've got to narrow it. You got to narrow your focus, and we'll talk more about that as we get down near the end of this. Number six is kind of the crux. Here's the heart of how you do a Bible character study. How do I approach this? Well, I'm approaching it like a textual topical, and as I'm going through this information I gather from the Bible, there are five questions that I need to ask, and if I will ask these five questions in my study, I will be able to gather the information that I need for a beneficial study for me and a beneficial study for those who are in the class. Question number one. Here are some questions, a series of questions that will be helpful to ask. Number one, the question is who? Who's the character? And this isn't just the selection of the character. You've done that up in number two. You have already selected your character, but you need to ask, who is this Bible character? When I pick up the Bible and I'm reading what the Bible has said, who is this Bible character, and how does this Bible character, you know, relate to other people? Who are the key members of this Bible character's family? You know, you begin to study a Bible character, and who is this Bible character related to? You know, if you're going to study about Andrew in the New Testament, who is Andrew related to? If you're going to study about James, who is James related to? If you're going to study about Aaron in the Old Testament, who is Aaron related to? Who is his mother, his father? Who is his brother, his sister? You need to study. You need to study about who are their key family members. And is there any significance about, when you're studying who this character is there any significance to their name? You need to remember that, especially in Bible times, names often had a special meaning. So you're going to need to get a Bible dictionary out. What does this character's name mean? And think about those times when God changed the character's name to a different name. There was significance to the name change. What was the new name, and how does that new name reflect how God looked at that Bible character? And so is there any, sometimes there's not a significance to their name. So don't force there to be a significance to the meaning of their name, but sometimes there is a significance to that character's name. And so who are they related to, and who are they connected to in the Bible? And sometimes those connections are not made in the immediate context. Sometimes you've got to read where that character is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. You know, you think about Jonah. You read about Jonah, and if you only read the four chapters of Jonah, you may not see where Jonah is connected to others in the Bible. Jonah is connected to Jesus. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of that great fish, Jesus said, so I will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so we need to see, who are these Bible characters connected to, and maybe specifically, how, if they are they connected to Jesus? And so you can do that, and there's Naaman, there's Jonah, there are other individuals, there's that brazen serpent that Moses lifted up connected to Jesus. And so, who is this Bible character? Significance of their name. Who are they related to? Who are they connected to in the Bible? Question number two is the question, when? When did this character live? It is so important to put the Bible character into the Bible context. When did they live? Is this an Old Testament character or a New Testament character? Okay, now that I figured that out, once I figured out Old Testament or New Testament, what's the dispensation that they lived in? When you study Job, here's Job over in the poetical literature, but when did Job live? Job lived over in the patriarchal age during the time of in our Bible, it fits in the book of Genesis. And so put them in their biblical context. When did they live? What period of Bible history did this character live? You know, you think about Elijah, you think about Elisha, you think about the King Jehoshaphat or King Asa. You know, when did they live? Well, you know, King Jehoshaphat did not live at the same time as the king of Salem over in the book of Genesis, but they're all kings. He didn't live at the same time as King Herod over in the New Testament, but they're both kings. When did King Jehoshaphat live? Put him in his biblical context. He's in the Old Testament. He's during the Mosaic Age. He is during the period of the divided kingdom. The kingdom of David has been divided after the death of Solomon. And here's the king of the southern kingdom, King Jehoshaphat. When did he live? Put him in his biblical context and see, is there any historical background that has an impact on this character's life? How does he fit in the Bible? You know, if we don't know that, if we don't know when he lived, then it will not have as much meaning to us, and it won't have as much meaning to the people in the class if we're not able to fit it into the Bible. Question number three, where did this character live? Where did this character live? And sometimes this is really important. Sometimes it won't be as significant, but we need to know where he lived. And this is going to require us to get out a Bible Atlas, because we're going to read the names of cities. Some of them are hard to pronounce, names of regions. Sometimes we haven't heard of them before, and we won't have a clue where they are. You know, when we hear somebody talk about Jupiter or Wellington or Royal Palm Beach or Riviera Beach, or when we hear somebody talk about Tennessee or Arkansas or Wyoming, we mentally know, we can visualize on that, okay, that's where that is. But when we pick up our Bibles and we begin reading, you know, about places like Philippi and Macedonia, and we read about Achaia, and when we read about, you know, Jonah, you know, and Jonah supposed to go to Nineveh, but he didn't go to Nineveh. You know, he caught a ship to go to Tarshish. Well, what's the big deal about going to Tarshish? You know, maybe Tarshish is near Nineveh. Well, pick up a Bible map. And all of a sudden, where they lived and where they went and the geography of this Bible character's life will take on a whole new meaning to their life story. You're going to study about the Good Samaritan. You need to study the geography of that road that went from Jericho to Jerusalem, and what kind of a road and what kind of elevation and what kind of treacherous path that went down. And so you got to see, did Bible geography play a part in this character's life? You know, where did James and John grow up? You know, the sons of Zebedee, they had a business, a family business there on the Sea of Galilee. And so when we understand that, we can see the significance of Jesus saying, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. We can understand Jesus using parables that talked about fishing. You know, things that were real to them because that's where they had come from. Who are they? When did they live? Where did they live? Fourth question is the question, and it's a broad question. The question is what? As you're digging into this character, what is significant from this character's life? And this is where you have to really start fine-tuning, because what's going to happen is some characters, if you just start listing even in bullet points, events from their life, things they said, things they did, boy, with some characters you can just get a long list going, okay, you get this long list, what? Question is what? What is significant? What characteristic in this person's life, what characteristic stands out about them? What is it that stands out about Elijah? What quality did he have? You know, it's interesting as you read about Elijah. Here is it, and I'll hopefully mention him again in a moment when we ask another question. But when you start thinking about Elijah, what was the characteristic? When you think about Elijah at Mount Carmel, what is the quality that stands out about him? When you think about other characters that you're going to do a study of in the Bible, what is the quality that stands out about them? If you're going to study Philip in the New Testament, like what characteristic stands out about him? If you're going to study even about Abigail, if you're going to study about Ananias or Sapphira, if you're going to study about Aquila and Priscilla, what is it that stands out? What is significant? You know, it's not that they were, you know, tent makers. That is a detail about their life. But here are individuals that were willing even to take Apollos aside and teach this man who's eloquent in the Scriptures, even teach him the way of God more accurately. So find what is significant about it. What did this character do that was so important to the Bible story? What application does the Bible itself make? Is there any application that the Bible says, this is what you need to know about this character? Go back to Elijah. Over in James chapter 5, the Bible tells us something about Elijah that we need to know. You know, we can read the story of Elijah and we can come up with what we think is significant. But read the Bible, let God tell us, what is it about Elijah that stands out? In James chapter 5, he was a man who had a nature like ours. Here's a man, prophet of God, performed miracles, but what does God say about him? He's just like us. He's a real guy. He's a real person. He has a nature like us. What is it about Job? What is it about Job that stands out? You know, what character trait about Job does the Bible say, here's the character trait you need to know? Well, same chapter, James chapter 5. We read about the patience of Job. Well, we could get the word patience by studying the book of Job, but why don't we let God make that application over in James chapter 5? So that kind of leads us into the fifth question, and that's the question of why. We've asked who, when, where, what. Now the question is why. And the question there is, why do we need to study this character? Why do we need to know this Bible character? And when we're asking why do we need to know, what is there about them that we can emulate? Or, as we talked about those bad characters a while ago, what is there about their life that we don't need to emulate? Why do I need to study? Because there's something there for me to learn. There's some sort of example for me to follow or not follow. There's some sort of warning, perhaps, for me to heed, going back to those key verses. Well, why do I need to study them? And when I'm teaching this to those who are in the class, why do they need to study this Bible character? And as I ask this question, why, and why do I need to know them, is there something about this character that can challenge me to greater faith, to greater service to God? That's one of the great ways that studying a Bible character can be so meaningful, is I can see challenges that they faced to their faith and how they overcame them. It can help me deal with challenges in my life so that I can allow my faith to become like the faith of Abraham. that my faith can become like the faith of David, of Elijah, of Elisha, of Shema. That my faith can become like the faith of Peter or Andrew or James or John or the Apostle Paul. But I look at how they overcame. Why do I need to study them? Because now I can be challenged to a greater life of service. I see what they did. I look at the early church and I see Christians who were being persecuted. And yet what did they do? They kept right on preaching the gospel. Is that not what we need to do? To look at what why is, it's just, why do we need to study them? What can we draw from them to change our lives? So if you will approach your character study with those five questions, and what you might do is you might take five sheets of paper. You might need more than that, but you might take five sheets of paper and write on the top of one page who. Who's this character? Who's related to? What's significant about his name? Who is he connected to in the Bible? You might write the word question when. When did they live? Put them in their Bible context and write everything you can about putting them into their biblical context. Where did they live? Or how does geography impact their life? Where did they go and how did that impact them? You write down the word what. On the top of the page, what? What is it about this character we need to know? What stands out? What qualities, what characteristics does God want us to know? And then why? Why do we need to know? The question why is where it becomes real. You know, don't do a character study that does not come around and have time to make application. And I'll mention that again in just a minute. Number seven, and what number six does with those five questions is you're not really developing your lesson yet. With those five questions, you're not really developing the lesson yet. What those questions are doing is they are allowing you to gather the evidence. And that's what you've got to do in Bible study. You've got to gather all of the evidence and then handle it. Handle it accurately. Handle it appropriately as God would have you do. But the first thing you've got to do is you got to fill up your bowl with what the Bible says about it. Now, with those five questions, you filled up your bowl. And you got a lot in your bowl about your Bible characters. Number seven says, okay, now that you've done some research, write a thesis statement. Here's where you narrow down your focus. Here's where you decide, okay, among everything that I've got in my bowl, here's what I want to focus on. And when I choose what I want to focus on, all right, now I've got what I want to focus on, I write my thesis statement. And what my thesis statement does is it states the specific aim of my lesson. Here is what I am going to accomplish with this lesson. Now, when you do a character study, here's what your thesis statement is not, okay? When you do a character study, your thesis statement is not to tell the story of such and such a Bible character. It's not your thesis statement. I know that's what you might be doing in the lesson, is telling their story, but that's not your thesis statement. Your thesis statement is not to tell the story. Your thesis statement is to motivate Christians to have the faith of Epaphroditus to serve other people, even to the point of hazarding our own lives. Now, that's a long thesis statement, but simplify that. To motivate Christians to have the faith, or to motivate Christians to have the devoted service of Epaphroditus. There you go. You have narrowed down a focus. You've said, here's what I want to focus on, and now when you write your thesis statement, stick to it. That's the hard part. Because now we got all this other stuff about our Bible character. I want to draw this in. If it doesn't fit your thesis statement, don't put it in. Thesis statement is what's helping you keep focused on your point. Otherwise, you're going to go everywhere in preaching the word. So write your thesis statement, stick to it. Number eight, choose a key verse. And I don't know that you can always do this, but you can do this most of the time with a Bible character. Maybe you can't do it all the time, but choose a key verse that summarizes the character's life and serves as a centerpiece of your lesson. And you've got this Bible character. And is there a key verse that you can say, here's a verse that we can hang our lesson on that talks about this Bible character? Now, it may be a verse from the particular section of scripture that you're studying about a character. Maybe your Bible character is Jonathan. Maybe you're studying about the friendship of David and Jonathan. Maybe you're studying about Jonathan, and maybe your key verse is a verse from 1 Samuel chapter 18 or another passage that talks about this, where even in 1 Samuel 18, it says that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. That's a graphic way to talk about a true friend. The soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. There's other great ways that their friendship is expressed in this section of Scripture, but that might be a way to talk about it. True friendship is not about, you know, being knit together in a social way. True friendship is not being knit together in a business way necessarily. True friendship is when your souls are knit together. And so that may be kind of a verse that you use as your key verse that kind of centerpieces around what you're trying to say. Or you may choose a verse that's not in that context, but references. If you're studying about the friendship of David and Jonathan, and that's your focus, then maybe a verse like Proverbs 12 and verse 26, where it says that the righteous should choose his friends carefully. Maybe that's a key verse. And you might have, obviously you're going to have lots of verses in your study about a Bible character, but sometimes you can have one that serves as the centerpiece that you can keep coming back to and building your lesson upon. And it, what that does is it allows somebody when they leave to say, well, what did we talk about today? Well, we talked about Jonathan. Okay, well, what about Jonathan? Oh, we talked about Jonathan and David. You know, Jonathan was a true friend. Oh, really? Was there a verse? You know, what can I hang my hat on? You know, it's not just that there's a Bible character who was a true friend. What does the Bible say? He knit his soul. That's what a true friend is. Righteous should choose his friends carefully, and I need to choose my friends carefully, or something like that. Choose a key verse that's going to summarize and really serve to help bring your lesson cohesively together. Number 9. All right, you've written your thesis statement. Maybe you have found it, a great key verse that you can build upon and center around. But now is the time you've got to write your lesson out. And you've got to take your bowl of information, you've got to take your bowl of biblical data, feed it through your thesis statement to narrow down what you have in your bowl to fit your thesis statement. And here's a great way, and oftentimes, if you do a character study, it can have these 3 points every time. Because they kind of fit in what you're trying to do. Number one of the 3 points in your outline ought to be the context. Where does your character fit in the Bible? Now, that's where you go back and you pull in the when. That's where you go back and you pull in the where. You know, that's where you, where does your Bible character fit in the Bible? Put your character in the Bible context so that people know what's happening. And what's leading up to, what's happening then, and where is it going? Help them to be able to see the greater picture and how he fits in that grand scheme. So your first point is the context. Second point is the character. You put the character in his context. Now, tell about the character. What are the main points of interest from this character's life? And here's where you tell the character story. But don't just tell the story. You know, sometimes we can tell the story and we just kind of meander, okay, and okay, that's the story, great. But put some pegs down into the main points to say, here's the, and don't have 40 of them, but here are the main points that from this character's life. Here are the main events that we need to see in what transpired. Here are the main decisions that this character made. And so tell the character's life, but have some main points of interest that can really help those who are in the class to be able to put the whole story together. You look at the context, you look at the character, and then finally, the convergence. And what that means is, how does this character's life converge with mine? And here's where it becomes real. Here's where we've got to make application. Don't spend 39 minutes of the 40 that you have in your Bible class doing the context and the character, and then just rushing through, even if you have time to do it, the convergence, the application. That is a mistake, especially in a Bible character study. You need to have time where you say, okay, we've talked about where he fits, and we've talked about the character himself or herself. what about me? How does that apply to me? Because Bible characters, again, they are a great, rich wealth of beautiful application for Christians today. And you need to spend time. And that's where the why, that why question, and part of the what question, the what and the why questions, as you're gathering your information, that's kind of what you're doing right here, is you are talking about, how does this impact my life today? How can I emulate? How can I not emulate? How can I be challenged to greater faith and service because of this character? Number 10, and this is just kind of a summary of the whole thing, what you're doing in your study and what you're doing in your presentation of the lesson, try to help the students in the class to walk and talk with this character. Don't just keep it out here in theoretical land. Bring it down to the heart. Bring it down to the life. Help them to walk along with Gehazi as he got greedy and wanted that gift for himself. Help them to be right there. Help them to walk with Achan through the city of Jericho and to see the spoils. And help them walk with him as he took them and snuck them out and went and hid them. And then help them to stand there with Achan as his family is put to death because of what he did. Help them to walk and talk with these characters. Make it real for them, and it will change their lives. Character studies are so wonderful and exciting, and I think if we will follow some of these points in this particular lesson, we will be better in our personal studies. We will be enriched as the teacher in our preparation, and will help those in the class to be enriched as well. Thank you for your good attention.